All right. Good. I just had to get to that little part in there. I'm going to move this microphone so I can properly introduce our guest. From the Rangeland Wildlife and Fisheries Management Department at Texas A&M, Dr. Ty Wardell is the assistant professor there. And you, the reason we have you in here is because I saw this little blurb that I guess the department put out that you guys are tracking squirrels on campus, eastern fox squirrels, right? And that's the majority of what we have here?
The majority on campus, that's correct.
Are there other species of squirrels in our area?
There are. There's about six or seven species in this area.
Really?
Yeah. Eastern fox squirrels are the biggest.
Okay.
About 1.5 to 2 pounds.
And what's the next, what could I see in my backyard aside from the eastern fox squirrel?
A gray squirrel.
Okay, I don't have any gray squirrels. They're all eastern fox squirrels.
Yeah.
But do you see gray squirrels on campus?
I haven't seen any, but I know there are around.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So what's the impetus of this program that you're doing? Are these all grad students, by the way?
No, it's actually part of my Techniques of Wildlife Management course.
Okay.
So one of the things we really want to do is get our students, hands-on experience out in the field. But you can, on an urban campus like this, I say urban, but we have...
Sure. We're in the city.
Yep, that's right. And it can be hard to get the logistics for 60 students to go out in the field, do a deer capture
or
something like that.
Yeah.
So we thought, this is a great opportunity to get these students right outside the door, get them capturing fox squirrels, put collars on them, track them around. Then we can do all that research that we do, out in the big country with elk and white-tailed deer and everything else. But we can do it right here on campus. Their whole home ranges are on campus.
Yes.
All of that. Yeah.
So what kind of information are you requiring them to look for?
So what they are going to be looking for is spatial movement. So looking at home range size.
How far do they go?
How far do they go? What are their habits during different parts of the day?
Sure. How long will this... I know you started in the spring. How long will this go on?
Well, these collars will last a year.
Okay.
But hopefully, we'd like to continue this, as long as I'm teaching the class.
Sure. But have you done this before?
I have not.
Okay.
But this study has been done. I say study, but I mean this.
Sure. This Dr. Lopez, did I get that right?
Yep. Dr. Lopez, my department head, did this same thing 20 years ago.
Okay.
And it was well received. Obviously, he likes it when I say it was really old school.
Technology's a little bit better now, right?
Everything got a lot smaller. We can do a lot more with a little collar.
Yes.
So now we have GPS recording.
Okay.
Right on those collars, we can walk around with the thing to offload them, and we can put that right on the computer.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, how do you capture the squirrels to put the collars on them?
So we've been using some mixed nuts from Walmart.
I was going to suggest peanut butter, but
that's what I thought too. We've been putting peanut butter in there.
Uh-huh.
We started with peanut butter, but found out they do not like peanut butter.
No kidding.
They'll eat around it and leave the peanut
butter. Is that right?
Pecans.
Now I know what to do with my bird feeder.
Yeah, put some
because I've got these little devils everywhere. They torment me.
Yeah, I was very surprised they do not like peanut butter, but they...
Wow, okay, that's good to know.
They do like pecans. That's kind of their main thing they like.
Okay, how many... Do we have an estimate how many squirrels on campus?
I do not have an estimate for you. We have a lot.
Yeah, a lot, and it just seems... And I saw an article within the last year, probably, about the proliferation... Find alternate routes to and from the A&M campus. Multiple vehicles are stalled. A&M police actively working on the scene. I know most of you are eager to get home. That's great. Be careful. Make sure your headlights are on. Don't drive through high water. There's a lot of it around. And Bill Oliver will keep us up to date in the newsroom. We were in the process of talking with Dr. Wardell, and tell me a little bit. I was telling you I had read that there's just a proliferation because it has to do with what the environment has done the last year, the rain, or, you know, more rain, less rain, whatever. Fewer enemies, I guess. Not as many hawks around. I don't know. I guess would hawks be one of their main around here?
Oh, yeah. Hawks and foxes.
Yeah.
Feral cats, domestic cats.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a synanthropic species. They do really well in human-modified landscapes. They can occur in higher densities because they might be eating potato chips or whatever.
Exactly. Else, you know? So, they're following food around.
Yeah, they're very, what's a polite way to say this? They're very healthy-looking squirrels compared to their rural counterparts.
Seriously? Oh, yeah. Like in the wild, yeah. You're talking about?
They're much bigger.
Yeah, because they eat more, right?
Yep, and they...
Because they're raiding my bird feeders.
And they don't have to go very far to forage.
They don't have to go very far. Yeah. Are there too many?
I don't know. Maybe we'll find that out in the study.
Do you think the study might show that?
It could. You know, depending on how long and how many more we collar and how much we expand this, whether that is camera traps or adding more collars, we might be able to get some really good abundance data and figure out, you know, the actual density and the number of squirrels we have on campus.
Well, this is strictly anecdotal. There just seems like in my neighborhood, many more than there's ever been. And everywhere I drive around town, they're in everybody's front yard in my neighborhood. They are everywhere. Yep. I mean, everywhere.
And then I get asked to do interviews like this because people just love squirrels. It's wild.
I don't. They're just big rats as far as I'm concerned.
But they have
I know people
tails.
Find them cute, right? I get that, you know. Hey, feed them some bread. Feed them, you know, you go to the park, they come up to you, right? I mean, they're beggars.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. But obviously they're survivors as well.
Yeah, and they do really well around people. Yeah. You got to give them that.
Do you know anything about birth rates and like how many will they reproduce in a year and what the gestation period is?
Well, generally they're going to be, having their breeding season early spring or late winter, January through February, March. Mm-hmm. And then again, later in the fall.
So they'll,
or summer, twice a year.
So twice.
Yep.
So they're going to be more squirrels than hogs before long.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, at least we're dealing with squirrels on campus and not hogs right now.
Oh my gosh. Have you had any issues at all?
Not on campus.
That you're aware of?
Not on campus.
Okay. Because they're, as you know, they're everywhere.
That's
too.
Right.
So you put the collars on, and are you getting immediate feedback from those collars?
So those collars are set to give me or the students locations every 4 hours.
Okay.
And we can adjust that. You know, we've had them out for about a month. If we're not liking the data we're seeing, if it's not enough locations, we can reprogram that to get it more often, but that'll reduce our battery storage, battery capability.
Sure. So for a month, have you seen data already that you can kind of look at and make some determinations on?
Yeah, I've been making some kind of little cool GIFs or videos, you know, of different movements, looking at how they're these different individual squirrels are moving around campus. Surprisingly, we have one squirrel that likes to go out in the parking lot. I don't know if he's picking up, you know, trash or something like that. But yeah,
just one.
Yeah, just one venturing off into the parking lot, then he'll come back.
No kidding.
The other three are generally right around the building.
So you've got four tagged right now.
We got four with GPS collars and four with VHF collars.
And tell me the difference.
So GPS collars are going to be actively saving and recording.
Okay, they're
GPS
giving
points.
You the data. Okay.
The VHF collars are like those old school ones.
The transmitter. You have to walk around.
Yep. And you know, those are important for our students because they need to understand how to use some of that technology.
Sure.
Because it's less expensive. It could be something that they're going to be using in their future careers as well. So you'll see them out there with their antenna pointing around.
Yep.
It's a directionality.
Yep.
Then they can figure out exactly what trees those certain squirrels are in.
They're only active during the day, yes or not?
Generally, yes. And I've seen them active, I would say, about 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning far. And then kind of that 3 to 5
So they're
o'clock.
Taking a siesta between 10 and 3?
Yep, exactly. I think it gets a little bit too hot for them.
Oh, well, yeah, I would guess. But again, they're pretty adaptable, and they've got shade in the trees, right? They have nests?
They do have nests, yep.
What do they, how do they build their nests?
They've got them made. It'll look kind of like a big eagle's nest type.
Sure, thing. It's pretty large. Yep. It has to be, right?
Yep.
And that's their home?
That's their home, yep.
Okay. They're always elevated?
The nests are, yes.
Okay. Are they in their nest like during downtime? They're sleeping there? Are they?
Yep, they'll use them for refuge. Go in there when it's
sure.
when it's too hot, and they're taking their naps, things like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I should maybe
so in weather in weather like this. I mean, the wind's howling, the rain is pouring down. They're probably in their nest.
Probably in their nest or seeking refuge, under something that they're not can't get rained on. If they got a good enough nest and a good enough tree, they'll probably be in there.
But they're smart enough to get somewhere if their nest isn't good enough.
Right. And, some of these squirrels are going to be making nests in cavities in trees as well. That would be really
okay.
good for something like this.
Yeah. Their brains don't look too big, but I know that they have this instinct, right? You've seen the videos where somebody will set up this obstacle course with the squirrel trying to get to, a feeder or whatever, right? And crawl through all of these things and figure it out.
Yeah, I've seen those videos and those are pretty great.
Yeah, they are. Mine, like we started putting Vaseline on our bird feeder pole. Mm-hmm. And that has kept them on the ground. They can't get up the pole. So that's just a little hint for all of my friends out there that are also fighting with squirrels.
Yeah, well, or you could set up the obstacle course like the video guys.
Yeah, and I'm not smart enough or good enough with my hands and have enough time to do that. What I hear some people have done is they may keep a BB gun by the door to discourage them from crawling in and eating all the bird seeds. I'm just saying, I've heard that may have happened.
Well, I don't know if I could condone that. And maybe you're going to be increasing your predators like coyotes and stuff like that if you're leaving dead squirrels.
Oh, no. This doesn't come close. At the most, it just stings them in the rear sometimes.
Oh, okay. I understand that.
Yeah. No, this isn't a pellet gun. This won't go anywhere. It's just it tries to discourage them.
Yeah, you're training them.
I think I am because I will tell you this. It's pretty amazing. They can hear me cock that BB gun when the door's not even open yet in my back patio. I'm serious. And once the door's open, they're gone.
Yeah, so maybe.
But then they're back in about 45 seconds.
So they might be a little smarter than you give them credit.
Oh, they're smarter than me. I mean, I'm giving them credit. I mean, they're pesky little devils. I get the fact that people think they're cute. I do understand that. But it's going to be like an Alfred Hitchcock movie one of these days. I'm going to see squirrels on all of the light, all of the electric poles around my yard and all the trees hanging from the wire. I'm going to come out and they're just going to be shoulder to shoulder, about 4,000 of them to get their retribution.
Yeah, that would be a scary scene. But, you see birds like that over by Chewy's, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, we know they like nuts. What are they eating on campus?
So they got a lot of mast from live oak, like acorns.
I mean, okay.
And it's covered. I mean, if you walk anywhere around campus,
it's covered.
Yeah. So they're getting a lot of forage from that.
Now, I think I've seen where will they bury those acorns like when the acorns are around for winter time to store them up? Do they do stuff like that?
They do, but I really haven't seen it happen much on campus because there's so many.
Because they don't need to.
There's so many acorns.
They just don't need to. Yep. I've also seen or read that yes, they do bury food, for lean times, but then they may forget where they buried them.
Yeah, it depends on maybe the age when they get a little older.
Is that what it is? What's the lifespan of an eastern fox squirrel?
I think they're probably about 8 years.
Really?
But I'm not
wow, that's how that's
maybe
why
I looked that up.
Okay, maybe that's why we have so many of them. So a lot of animals don't live that long. Like I went and checked because we also have cottontails occasionally in our backyard, right? If the cats don't get them.
That's right. I cheated. I looked it up
that's
on my
good
phone here.
Okay,
it said they can live up to 15 years.
Holy moly.
I thought I might have been overestimating, but I was underestimating.
No wonder we have so many of them. Yep. That's, I mean, that's substantial for an animal,
yeah,
right?
Especially one that small. Yeah.
Well, even my guess is, again, they probably have a longer lifespan on campus than they do out in the wild. Wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, the natural predators,
yes,
as well as the not needing to.
You mentioned foxes, and we mentioned like hawks, maybe occasional eagle.
I would think cats are going to be eating a lot of squirrels.
You think so?
Yeah.
The other thing, unless a car's run over them, I don't find too many dead squirrels around. We certainly have enough feral cats in my neighborhood because they've killed the rabbits. Maybe they just can't catch the squirrel quite as easily.
Yeah, I think they're probably eating them.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's fine with me. Don't get me wrong. I don't like cats either, so I don't want them getting fed either. But yep. I'd rather have a squirrel than a cat, in fact. But I don't guess I can do anything about that. So what are you hoping to teach these students over the course of this project? So what do you want them to learn?
So I kind of want it to be a broad overview of like how we set up our research projects. You come up with a good research design that you that you know you're going to be able to get some good data out of at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You have a good hypothesis, which you're predicting these squirrels are going to be doing. You have a good sampling protocol, like we're going to catch these squirrels, safely put these collars on. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to get hurt.
Yes.
We're going to release them, not impact their life expectancy or anything like that. And then learn how to analyze that statistical data, whether that's spatial data or looking at linear regressions of what kind of habitat these squirrels are preferring compared to other habitats, things like that. And I want to, you know, it's squirrels. Maybe that's not the most high profile.
Yeah, but that method can be used on any animal,
right.
Correct?
Correct. And this is just a smaller scale.
Yes.
And I've been trying to get this to catch on. I've been calling them charismatic mini fauna, because we have, you know, these other species, charismatic megafauna.
So yeah.
I might have stole that from a colleague, but I really
that's okay.
I really do like that charismatic mini fauna.
So in handling them, my guess is you have to be a little careful. They will bite you if you give them the opportunity, will they not?
Oh, yeah. They got some pretty good teeth on them.
Do they carry disease?
They may.
We're not clear on... If so, what that would be?
No, I mean, I think they're fairly safe to handle. We wear gloves.
Sure that you do, yeah.
Take every precaution we can to not get bit or scratched.
Yeah.
So what we do is we will take them from the trap.
Yes.
Cover it so that it's all dark in there.
Yeah.
Calm them down, keep them from being stressed.
Yep.
Then we dump them into a pillowcase.
Okay.
That's also dark so they can't see.
Yes.
Then kind of work their head out the corner.
Yes.
And then we put a little... it's an oil funnel.
Okay.
With the top, with the bottom cut off of it.
Yeah.
And then it fits over their neck. And
oh, okay. Like a dog that's had surgery.
How I should explain it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a cone.
Yeah, a cone.
So we put a cone on their head, and then we can put the collar on behind that cone. They're safe. Nobody's getting bit.
Yeah.
And then we can put them right back in the cage and take them outside and release.
Have you been able to determine any kind of stress level when that process is going on? I mean,
when you have them in your hands, you know, you can feel their heart going.
Sure. But you're not handling them for a long.
In Texas, likely to mobile room in a sturdy structure.
Number of places, okay, around town right now. So just be very careful out there. We're visiting with Dr. Ty Wardell with the Rangeland Wildlife and Fisheries Management. By the way, you guys have great caps. And thank you. Yeah, they're good-looking caps.
Thank you. This is actually my lab cap.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. So it's like specific.
Specific, yeah.
And love that.
I've been giving it to people, and what I've been saying is you got to go someplace pretty cool or do something fun and take a picture and then send it to me, and I've been putting it on my website.
Oh, we need to do that then.
Yep.
We'll get I'll get my cap, and we'll get a picture for our website if you don't mind.
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. I noticed that in the last study, like 20 years ago, which I think lasted 6 years if I read this correctly, One of the things they determined was that male squirrels, at least on the A&M campus, are more likely to die from highway-related deaths than female squirrels.
Yeah, my wife said that makes sense.
Yeah, because the females are smarter.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
I say it's because the females are home taking care of the little ones while the male squirrels are out running around on their wives.
Well, or maybe they're just going out, you know, collecting all the food.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. So tell me again how long you think this particular project's going to last.
It could last as long as I'm here for.
Oh, cool.
I'd like to just continue to expand.
Yep,
and make it more, integrate it more into the
campus. But with each class, they will have their own specific data, I'm assuming.
Correct.
Right, to study.
And then we can expand on it.
Okay.
Maybe do some different techniques, whether that's setting up cameras or
putting
live feed videos on nests to look at behavior.
Uh-huh.
I also think it'd be really cool to do like an iNaturalist. I don't know if you know what that's.
I don't.
So if you're out anywhere, you take a picture of an animal, you can put it on iNaturalist, and then it logs it. It's like a social.
Oh, okay.
But if we did that for campus squirrels, that could help us track squirrels around as well.
So how would you determine, and I've been kind of joking, but how would you determine if there are just an overabundance of squirrels in one area?
Well, I think you would see it in the population. You would see some really emaciated, skinny squirrels.
Yeah, they wouldn't be healthy.
Right.
Because they're not getting enough to eat.
And we're not seeing that. So then I guess it would be, you know, what is acceptable for people on campus? What density of squirrels is acceptable? I mean, if you're taking a step and every step.
And you're stepping on a squirrel.
Yeah, maybe that's too many squirrels.
Yeah. I feel like my neighborhood is almost at its limit.
Yeah.
Don't send any of those on campus my way, by the way. I want you to feed them well while you're over there. Okay?
I think they're going to stick around.
Don't think they're going anywhere, right? They haven't made there. Really, I appreciate this. Will there be an opportunity to see some of the conclusions from this particular study?
Yeah, we actually have a master's student who's been working on it. It's kind of her thesis type project where she is going to be writing up a paper on this.
Okay.
This first iteration.
Okay.
So she will have some results. And
very cool.
Yep.
You'll let me know that, right?
Yep. I will let you
know. I appreciate that. First of all, thank you very much for coming in, especially on a day like today. I never would have had you come in if we had known, I promise you.
Yeah, but this came on fast.
It did. But we really appreciate it because I just find this stuff fascinating.
Yep.
Thank you very much. Hang on, we're going to get some pictures, but I got to take care of a little business first. Thanks.
Appreciate it.